I'm an addict named Sarah.
Hey, Sarah.
So I'm glad to be here. I'm a little nervous. This is my first time to speak at a convention. I'm glad it's a kind of a smaller group. So to kind of qualify myself as an addict, I started using it 14, had my first overdose at 15, started going in and out of hospitals around 16. I was finally arrested around the age of 21 and for drug charge and found my way into Narcotics Anonymous. My clean date is 10/21/13. I've been coming around since 99, so you can do the math. What I have learned is that the more I work this program, the more I get out of this program. And so, on the topic, so how will I express my gratitude today? You know, the first thing that comes to mind is the work I do, or the volunteering work I do for NA and in the NA service structure. You know, before I came to NA, I didn't really have a concept of being of service to anyone except myself. You know, I was very self-centered. I was very selfish, and I thought I knew everything. I thought I'd done everything. I thought I'd done everything, and when I started coming to meetings and starting doing new things, it was a lot of different firsts. Like the first time the first introduction I had to end Narcotics Anonymous. I wasn't sure what to expect. But y'all just welcomed me like family, like the first time. And that was really special to me. That was unheard of. You know, a lot of places, they didn't want me back. And you guys told me to keep coming back. So it was a place where I felt safe. And so I kept coming back. And I didn't really know how to talk to people. I didn't really know how to interact with people. You know, I was very painfully insecure and uncomfortable in my own skin, but y'all just kind of picked me up and took me with you wherever y'all went, you know, go to coffee afterwards, and you didn't make me talk. I was really grateful for that, but you made sure that I had a safe place to go until the bars closed and I was able to get home. So there were a lot of firsts. I'm thinking the first time I chaired a meeting, that was the first introduction I had to Narcotics Anonymous service. And it changed everything. Like, the meetings were great. You know, the meetings were great. I enjoyed them, and I got a lot out of them. But until I chaired a meeting for the first time, it's like I got clean in a home group that we meet in the back of a church in a little house, and the house has its own key, and I got a copy of that key. You know, y'all trusted me with a copy of the key, and you trusted that I was going to set up the chairs correctly and make the coffee, and, like, you know, no one had trusted me with responsibilities like this. Like, it was a big deal, and it was a big deal in making me feel as though I had something to offer, you know, and it made me feel really... like I was taking ownership in my own recovery, and that was really cool. As I started amassing clean time, I became eligible for more types of service, like elected positions, like secretary. That was my first elected position in my home group. That was really neat. But anyway, all these positions in the area, and I've taken a lot of elected positions. I think nothing that I've done has given me the most freedom and satisfaction as the service I get through being a sponsor. I didn't always want to be a sponsor. I was very much a taker, and I didn't, you know, again, painfully insecure and not really, you know, just not confident in myself and not confident in my ability to offer anything. I did it anyway, and I worked through that, and I got more confident, and I now I love it. You know, going through the steps, guiding another person through the steps and the traditions of Narcotics Anonymous has not only does it keep my recovery on track, because it keeps everything fresh, it gives me that gift of seeing the light in someone else's eyes when they when they get it. And we get, I don't know about you, but I got it like multiple times, you know, through my journey through the steps. It wasn't just like my spirit came awake at the end of step 12. Like there was a lot of things that that came out. So the way it is today, I'm of service to my home group. I'm of service to my area. I'm a sponsor. And I'm also of service to some online NA meetings, which I found, which is kind of cool. You know, if we had to have a pandemic, I'm glad it happened at the time that it happened so that we had the, you know, the technology to manage that. Narcotics Anonymous taught me a lot about how to be of service in other areas of my life, like my work and my family and in building a relationship with myself. I wrote notes because I'm, you know, painfully insecure and unconfident in my abilities. It's actually gotten better. It's gotten a lot better. But I think I'm just going to talk about family, though. You know, how it was is that, you know, growing up, I did not have a terrible childhood, you know. At times I thought I did, but I didn't, you know, compared to a lot of people. But I had a mother who was, I won't say neglectful because, you know, I never wanted for things that, you know, that I actually needed. But, you know, I really felt as though she was not available to me. And same with my father. He was emotionally distant and just disconnected, unavailable. And so that's what I grew up with. That and I had a sister who she was just a little bit different due to some medical issues, and you know, we couldn't get along, and I was very much the black sheep of the family, and I felt that way. I felt different, you know, from all my family members. You know, family gatherings were not a fun time in my family. You know, it was a time when it seemed like they, like a nightly occurrence would be when they would watch TV downstairs. My mom would sit on the couch away from everybody. It was like a perfect picture of our dysfunction. My mom would sit on the couch away from everybody. My sister would be on the floor vying for my father's attention, and my father would drink scotch until he fell asleep. And I thought this was how everybody's family was. And I, on the other hand, would be upstairs in my room listening to music or, you know, later on doing drugs or doing whatever, you know, I wanted to do, as long as I was away from them, because I didn't like them. I didn't feel like they liked me. I didn't want any part of it. When I got into recovery, some things I did different was, you know, going through the steps, through the fourth step and the eighth and ninth steps in particular, you know, I was able to see some of the things that like their mannerisms, their behaviors, you know, and I was very focused on them, like they were the problem. I was able to see, like, the speaker tonight said it so eloquently, and I can't even remember what she said, but I was just like, yes, that's it. Mm-hmm. But basically, you know, they were doing the best they could with the hand they were dealt, you know? And isn't that all we're all trying to do anyway? I mean, there are a few psychopaths out there that are intentionally causing harm here and there, but I never wanted to cause harm. I kind of just wanted to be left alone to live my life, you know, because at that time I knew everything and I'd done everything. Mm-hmm. And going through the fourth step, I was able to see that, you know, they had been dealt this hand and they were doing their best to deal with, you know, what they'd been dealt. And part of the hand they were dealt was me. And I was not easy to live with. I was able to see my part and all that too. I continued to work the steps and I made my way onto the amends process. I was not able, hi Lauren. I was not able to be there when my sister died in 2018 or 2017. But beforehand, I was able to at least make some amends. You know, she and I had been estranged for a very long time. And I was able to make some amends to her and let her know, like, hey, I was not the best of sisters, and I could have been there for you more. And for what it's worth, you know, I'm here for you now. And she accepted that. And that was, you know, she died shortly thereafter, and I feel at peace with that. My mother also sadly passed away in 2020, and I'd been doing living amends with her. You know, my father and my mother, funny story, my parents divorced when I was they separated when I was 14. They finally got divorced when I was 16. He remarried. She never did. I grew up, you know, as the product of a divorced family, because that's what I was. Fast forward to 25 years later, my stepmother, my father's wife, sadly gets cancer and passes away. Amazing woman, really brought the family together, and she passed away. My mother was very involved with the funeral arrangements and very involved in helping my father out with all this. My parents got back together, y'all. Like, who does that? But my parents did. And one of the things that happened when they got back together is my husband and my son and I, we moved in with them, and now we've got 5 people in the house. And it was just a really good situation for all, because they're getting older and they need someone to take care of them. My mom, in particular, because she was sick at that time. She was starting to get sick. And anyway, I was able to be there for my mom. I was her caregiver. I like that the speaker tonight emphasized the difference between caretaker and caregiver, because I was a caregiver. And I do still have some regrets. Like, she passed, it wasn't super quick, but it was quicker than I expected. I kind of thought I was going to have more time. And I do still have some regrets about that, about some emotional stuff that I still felt was kind of left unsaid, you know, stuff that was kind of left undone. Y'all, she was just in a great deal of pain, and I was spending the majority of my time trying to manage that. So I spent a lot of my time during that time in meetings, in online meetings, because this was like March to May 2020. The pandemic had just hit, you know, we were in lockdown, and it was bad. But anyway, I was able to be there for her, you know. Regrets or none, you know, I was able to be there for her, and that was one way that I expressed my gratitude, because that's something that Narcotics Anonymous taught me, was how to be there for people, you know, even with our past and with our, you know, the things that were not said. I was able to give of myself so that, you know, she felt a little bit less alone when her time came. You know, my father is yet to pass away. He'll probably outlive us all. And what I'm doing, I guess, today is I'm preparing myself for the challenge. So it's gonna be interesting. What I know is that, you know, in and of myself, I don't have the ability to do some of the things I've been doing. You know, it's the God of my understanding and Narcotics Anonymous and the spiritual principles contained in the steps and really in a lot in the traditions that have taught me how to get along with people so that, you know, I'm even the kind of person that anyone wants to be around. You know, because when I got here, I was very aggressive and confrontational, and I was a liar, I was a gossip. I was completely untrustworthy. I was just in generally very, very unlikable person, and not a lot of people wanted to be around me. And today, you know, it's different. I built a relationship with a sponsor first. That was my first experience with true intimacy, and it was. It was very intimate, and at times it was really uncomfortable, as I'm sure all y'all know. Our relationships with our first sponsors are really special things. At least it was for me. And working through those steps, experiencing that personality change, was life-changing. I'm sorry, y'all, I'm drawing a blank. What's different today is, I generally like myself. You know, when I got here, I think the best way to describe how I was when I got here is that I hated myself and I didn't even know it. Like, I was in denial about the fact that I hated myself and I hated my life. I hated what I'd become. I hated who I was and I didn't even know it. And through working the steps and taking a good look at, you know, who I was, like, as I was at that point, and learning practical ways through the application of spiritual principles to behave differently and to start becoming more of like the person that I want to be. You know, I'm still not quite there yet, but I'm so much closer, y'all. I'm so much closer. And another thing is the doing the right thing piece, you know, which has never come naturally to me. It's still not my first always. It's still not always my first thought is to do the right thing for the right reason. But y'all, sometimes it is. And that's amazing to me. So above all, you know, Narcotics Anonymous has given me a lot of things, you know. Not least among them, it's given me some dignity. It's given me some self-respect. And how dare I not be grateful for that? So I guess paying it forward and giving back to the addict who's still suffering to the day, you know, to the addict who's yet to come. And I think that's all I've got. I doubt that's 30 minutes, but I think I'm good. Today I feel good about myself, and our literature says all we ever wanted was to feel good about ourselves. So thank you all for letting me share.
I'm an addict seeking recovery. My name is Tyrell.
Hi, Tyrell.
I want to thank my higher power for another day alive and clean on this earth. Thank my sponsor, my network, my predecessors, and my sponsees. The men that I work with for helping me when I don't know how to help myself. You know, I want to thank this committee, man. I want to thank Hackney, the Houston Area Convention, man, for, you know, asking me to be of service. You know, I truly believe, man, that the closest to God I'm ever get to being is being a trusted servant. You know, and, man, you know, I always start off by paying homage to my predecessors, right? You know, simply the ones that come before me. You know, and my sponsor is Nikita W. in Atlanta, Georgia. You know, my home group is a by any means necessary group on the virtual platform. It's 820-751-3484, and the password is KCB. You know, I always start out, man, by just thanking Creator, man. By thanking of my sponsor always talks about the Almighty God, right? You know, and I know that sends people in different directions, right? But like in this program, and we look up definitions, right? Because definitions have power. Like these words that we use, man, they have symbolism. So I encourage you, man, to like get a dictionary, right? This is what they told me when I got here. Like get a dictionary, look up some words, right? You know, and then it's for this workshop though, I'm gonna get right into the nitty gritty, man. Thank you for your service, man. Thank you for sharing, Sarah. And thank you for going first, because you got the nerves out of me, you know what I mean? But this topic comes out of the 12th step, right? And the step working guides. You know, and I love this, you know, I belong to a sponsorship family. We believe in this life-saving literature. We believe in this knowledge and this information that we get to internalize through the spiritual principles of this program. You know, that's the 12 steps, 12 traditions, and 12 concepts of Narcotics Anonymous, right? And in the 12th step, man, like this shit is heavy. Right? Because by the time you get to this point in your process, right, I got to talk about me. It's like when I got to this point, I thought, oh, it's over. You know what I'm saying? Finally. right? And then in the basic text, it says some other shit, right? The basic text introduces, right? In the 12th step, right? Let me tell you what it say in the 12th step in this book, though, in the basic text, right? Because I love this shit. Where we at? I'm in the traditions. But it tells me this, right? And it's so humbling. It says, this is on page 53, how it works. In the 6th edition of the basic text, right? And it says, we do recover to live clean and happy lives. It says, welcome to NA, right? It says, the steps do not end here. The steps are a new beginning. Right? And like, when I got to this place, man, this was like the first accomplishment that I had got in my life. Right? The first thing that I followed through to the end. Right? I mean, I did a whole lot of shit okay. You know, like mediocre. You know, T.I. said, we don't want no mediocre, right? But like I did some shit mediocre, right? And I almost finished, right? But like, when I got to this process, man, they almost beat in my head that like, the steps are our solution. Right? Like, you can't do this program without working the steps. So why be in a 12-step program and not work the steps? Right? Like, y'all taught me some things when I got here. Right? And I'm going to get emotional because the lady was talking about the relationship with her first sponsor. Right? Like, that relationship with my first sponsor started the foundation of this program for me. Right? And I'm a qualified. I don't really feel like I need to, but my clean date is 3/17/14. Right? You know, I'm a St. Patty's Day baby, right? It's green and orange you see right here. You know what I mean? But that's not where my program started. Right? The recovery and relapse is a part of my story. I met a kid named Mark. I don't know if he's in here right now. Earlier, man, he said he had 40 days clean, right? And I told him I started working the first step when I had 42 days clean. Right? I said I finished it when I had 70 days clean. Right? And the importance of that is I'm telling you, man, that like my sponsor ingrained some things in that step working process. Right? He taught me some things, man. Like he said, man, you don't got to just surrender. It's two things in this thing that you got in this camp that you got to surrender to. Right? And that's the program and that's the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. And that shit was foreign. I didn't understand. Right? Like we as the people, right? We as members are the fucking fellowship. Like this convention is fellowship. The speaker jams, the meetings, that shit is fellowship. Right? But like the program, right? This shit is the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, and the 12 concepts. Right? It's the motherfucking literature. It's life-saving literature. Right? And like, I like to quote literature, right? But I like to read it. You understand? Because like, I don't want to be that person, right? That people are like, oh, he's a fucking book thumper. And like, listen, I don't give a fuck. Like, call it what you want. You know what I mean? Because this is a confidence type of thing, man. This is a character building exercise. Right? And I'm going somewhere with this, man, with this relationship with that sponsor, man. He taught me some things, man. You know, when I went out, like in 2009, right? He used to call me and shit, right? And I'd be in the crack house whipping up. I'm like, bro, I would see his name flashing. Like, this is not the time, brother. You know what I'm saying? But like we talk about in the 11th step, the conscious contact, right? What contact means is connection. Right, I didn't understand in the spiritual aspect that like this man was connected to me on a whole different level. Yeah. Right? Like this man, bro, was brought into my life to teach me to grow up from a boy to a man. Right? You know, and when I relapsed, man, like it broke his heart. You know? So the gratitude, right? The topic is how will I express my gratitude? Right? The word express, right? By dictionary definition, it means to communicate, to convey, right? To show. Like, how am I showing you my gratitude? Right? We got a cliche that talks about, you know, my gratitude shows when I care and when I share with others, the NA way, right? What is the fucking NA way? Right? Because I ask these type of questions because y'all give me these things and, you know, I'm an overanalyzer, right? I got some character defects and shit, right? And I think I'm kind of smart, you understand? Uh-huh. Right? So I like to know what I'm fucking doing because, you know, you could be misinformed in here, right? Yeah. I heard that a lot over the weekend, right? And like, the gratitude is, man, is that like, I'm at a place of, at a state of humility, man, where like one of my favorite sayings is like, you know, I remain teachable so that I'm reachable. Because once I'm no longer teachable, I'm no longer reachable.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and like I can get so big and I can get so egocentric and so self and just so consumed in self that I forget, man, this shit ain't even about me.
Yeah, right.
This shit is about Mark with 40 days.
Yeah.
Right? This shit is about that addict that just got up and got 3 days clean, man.
Yeah.
Like this shit is about giving it away, man. Y'all said I can't keep this unless I give it away.
Yeah.
Right? And in this 12th step, right, it says having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps.
Yeah.
Now, we ain't talking about the spiritual awakenings that you had before that. We ain't talking about, oh, when the desire to use was lifted. Now, we ain't talking about that one.
Yeah.
We're talking about the one that you experienced when you worked the 12 steps in Narcotics Anonymous.
Yeah.
Right? When that spiritual awakening hits you. When you understand, man, that like, you know, God has just moved you into a position, right, that I will never be able to, you know, pay the debt of. Right, like I will never be able to show, you know, everything that this program has given me, right? But there's some more to that. It says, we tried to carry the message to addicts and to practice these principles in all our affairs, right? And with the spiritual principle intertwined in step 12 is selfless service, right? Woo! You know, there's a question, right, in the tradition, 8 actually, where it talks about, you know, do I have recovery-based service? Right? Right?
Tell about it.
Hit him with the shit.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think about that. You know, understand? Because, you know, recovery, right? By definition, in our basic text, it talks about is an active change in my ideas and attitudes.
Uh-huh.
Now for me, that cultivates into my behaviors,
uh-huh,
right? Because it all starts with that fixed idea.
Uh-huh.
I'm here to tell you, newcomer, old timer, whatever fucking timer, that like this shit right here, you know how Cat Williams said, this shit right here,
yeah.
Right?
Come on,
right? Listen, yeah. This shit right here is filled with new ideas,
uh-huh,
right?
Uh-huh.
You know, and what I needed was new ideas when I got to Narcotics Anonymous.
Yes, sir.
Like what I knew about, you know, like that cliche says, what I knew about living almost killed me, right? Now I want to tell y'all, and I'm going to get into some gratuity, right? You know, I'm an N.A. baby, right? You know, Hacking the Five was on the wall, right? And it said 1997. That was my first convention ever, right? You know, my daddy had just got custody of me in 1997. Now, I'm going to share, like where I come from. Like, we talk about living two lifetimes in one, right? Like, I was afforded the opportunity to live two childhoods at one, right? Like, I was that child who, like, both of my parents are addicts, right? But, like, my mother is a fucking bona fide crack addict at the time, right? My father's in the process of recovery. I don't know my father, right? I don't know anything about him. All I know is that they call him Lil' Ed, and he got this reputation, you know, for being a wild young boy in the hood, right? So, like, my whole life, I was outgrowing this persona, man, and I was living up to this name, right? And my father, man, today, like, he's my best friend, right? But I want to tell you, man, for 7 years of my life, I didn't speak to my father, right? Like, I didn't understand, you know, because he was in the process of recovery, right, that, like, he couldn't have dope in his house. And he's a counselor by training, and he couldn't have me doing all this wild shit, right? So he sent me to the belly of the beast, right? He sent me back to my mom in Camden, New Jersey. If anybody's ever heard of Camden, it's not a very nice place. You know, it's not really pretty. You know, it's a lot of condemned buildings and trap houses and cops and robbers and murderers and rapists and, you know, gangbangers, all of that kind of shit, right? You know, and I came from this, you know, really, really nice area outside of Austin, Texas called Pflugerville, right? You know, where, right? Where I was like really pampered and, you know, I was an ESPN. Yeah. Right. It was the complete opposite, right? You know, and, you know, what happened was, right, I was an ESPN 150 top recruiter athlete. I got A's and B's in all of my classes. And, you know, I had scholarship offers for pretty much anywhere I wanted to go in the country. Football, basketball, baseball, track, scholastics, you know, all of that, right? But I got a disease, right? You know, it's a movie called Mr. Brooks. I don't know if y'all have ever seen it. Right? You know, and...
Listen, right, it's this movie called Mr. Brooks, right? And this dude was an addict, right? But he wasn't a drug addict, right? Because in Narcotics Anonymous, like, if you think this is still a drug program, I want to say keep coming back. Like, you know, it tells me that this program is a program of addiction and recovery, right? You know, and but Mr. Brooks was an addict, right? But he was a murderer. Like, he had this thing in him, right? You know, and he was a billionaire. He was like motherfucking Batman. You know, by day, he was a motherfucking billionaire mogul, you know, whatever, right? And then at night, he was slaughtering the city, right? And he was out there getting it, right? But here's the thing, and I'm sharing this for a reason, right? You know, Mr. Brooks had a child, right? Mr. Brooks had a daughter in this movie, right? And it's this piece, man, that gets me every time she says it. He said, man, she got the same bug that bit her bit me, right? The same bug that bit my mother, my father, my grandfather, all of my sisters and brothers, you know, my aunts and my uncles, it bit me too, right? On page 3, who was an addict, it says, we did not choose to become addicts. We suffered from a disease which expresses itself, which is antisocial and expresses itself and makes detection, diagnosis, and treatment difficult. Like, this is not the road that I was supposed to go down. Like, this is not what I wanted to do with my life, right? But, like, my first drug of choice was fantasy, y'all. Like, as a young boy, I wanted to be a fucking Ninja Turtle, right? No bullshit, right? I wanted to be a Power Ranger, right? You know, and then they're like we got a disease which is progressive, incurable, and fatal, right? And the progression of the disease said, man, like I play sports now, right? So I want to be Barry Sanders. I want to be Deion Sanders. Right, I want to play for the motherfucking Dallas Cowboys, Larry. You know what I'm saying? You know what that's an outside issue. That's an outside issue.
Outside issue.
But look, right? So then, you know. But look, right? So I wanted to do that, right? And then I got a little bit older, right? And then I started to want to be Nino Brown. Right? I wanted to live New Jack City. Right? Right? I wanted to be my brother's keeper. I wanted to be Scarface. Right? I wanted to be Money Making Mitch. You understand? So, right? So, like, what I did, right? You know, the third step talks about we tend to live what we believe. Right? So I started to live what the fuck I was believing at that time. Right? And what happened was a lot of fucking dereliction. Right? A lot of degradation. A lot of nights that, like, I don't want to fucking remember. Right? A lot of motherfucking banging a set and a flag that, you know, didn't give a fuck about me. Yeah. Right? A lot of jails and institutions. Right? And that spiritual death, which is, you know, which hurts more than anything. Yeah. Right? Like, when I'm looking in the mirror, I don't fucking recognize myself. And I'm talking about a drug-induced psychosis. Right? I'm talking about, like, some people don't make it back from that, y'all. Yeah. We're talking about the gratitude, man. How will I express my gratitude? Right? You know, when I was in that, the World Convention was in San Antonio, Texas. I was walking down motherfucking Perrin Bidal butt naked. Right? My father had just exiled me to motherfucking Camden, New Jersey. Right? He had no idea that I was even in the state of Texas again. Right? You know, and everybody always asked me, where you from, man? Like, they see me everywhere. Like, I believe in the program of Narcotics Anonymous, right? Like, wherever Narcotics Anonymous asks me to go, I go. I don't care if they flying me in, if I'm paying my own dime. No, like it's my responsibility, right? The 12th step talks, you know, I'm charged in carrying a clear and concise message of Narcotics Anonymous, right? So I go wherever. I done been to New Orleans throughout the pandemic. I done been to Mid-City Chicago throughout the pandemic. I done been to the fucking Grand Canyon in Arizona with ARCNA, whatever the fuck it was, 35. You know, I've seen the Grand Canyon, right? You know, I'm talking about like these are some of the gifts, right? These are some of the things that we get to do when we get clean, right? But I want to talk about recent, right? Because I was taught that we talk about today. You know, fuck what happened 30 years ago. I don't give a fuck about the drug alone. Yeah. Right? IP in the group number 2, man, talks about we got members that'll travel many miles. Yeah. Right? You know, and like, you know, I had the opportunity. Something I ain't have in active addiction. I had the opportunity, right, to fly home to where I got clean. Like, I got clean in Willingboro, New Jersey, right? Burlington County area, Camden, Trenton, all that area, Riverside, Burlington. You know, Burlington City, Burlington County, right? That's where I got clean in 2014. I got to go home for my birthday, right? You know, we little less over than a little less than a month. You know, I turned 33 August 20th, right? I celebrated my 8th birthday clean, right? And, you know, I got to go home and see my mom. Not only that, I got to take my girl home. Like, I took her home to meet my mama, y'all. You know what I'm saying? Like, I took my girl home to meet my mom. Right? Because, like, a lot of times, man, like, our families don't get to see what we do in the process of Narcotics Anonymous. Right? And I would love to say that, like, I don't go to New Jersey because I don't like New Jersey. You know, but the truth is like, man, that state did something to me that, like, you know, it's always put that paralyzing fear in me that it talks about in the fourth step. You know, like when I'm there, man, like I'm a different person, right? Like I automatically, in a snap of a finger, I divert back to my sickest and, you know, my sickest ways, man, and my behaviors, you know. But I thank God for the fellowship, right? Because the last time I got to go home, you know, and my family, man, like we're not that kind of family that's close knit and, you know, all of that other shit. Like my immediate family's pretty close, right? You know, but my family in general is very spread out. I don't know none of my father's side of the family, you know, but my mom's side is close, you know, as far as my immediate is close, right? You know, we actually had a family reunion. I ain't never been to a family reunion in my life, y'all. You know, I'm talking about the gifts, right? You know, and get to be around them, watching them getting all, you know, they watch the transformation. You know, they come in, hey, cousin, what up, cuz? And next thing you know, they sleeping on the ground and shit. You know, they fumbling. You know, they trying to offer me drinks for the 87th time tonight. You know what I'm saying? And but man, like I got to go home, man, and I got to like show, like I got to go see the people who laid the foundation for me, man. You know, that was so special for me. You know, I don't think I really had the opportunity to really fully embrace, you know, that experience yet since I've been home, right? Since I've been back, you know, and I'm just sharing this gratitude because, man, like, you know, I moved from New Jersey with 105 days clean, right? I moved to Atlanta, Georgia. I was a part of the West End area of Narcotics Anonymous, right? Also known as Wiener. But y'all caught it, right? Y'all caught it. But look, right? You know, the West End, man, did something for me, man, that was so incredible, right? You know, I remember having 4.5 months clean, you know, and like, you know, some places you go, they got clean time requirements, like you were talking about. We're doing certain stages of service, right? And thank God for H&I, right? Because H&I saved my life, right? You know, I was in a 23-in-1 holding facility. You know, I was in the place where they take your shoelaces and put you in the Ninja Turtle outfit when you're walking around doing the Thorazine shuffle, right? They were coming there too. You know what I'm saying? But dig, right? Like they let me join the committee. Right, they let me join the committee with 4.5 months clean because they seen I was on fucking fire. Like, I wanted what y'all had to offer, man. Like, I didn't want to fucking die. Yeah. Right? Like, when I got a taste of what Narcotics Anonymous has given me, you understand? Like, I didn't want to leave this shit. Yeah. Right? You know, and there was a lot of things I was wanting to read, right? But I allowed a spirit to flow. Right? You know, and like, in this literature, man, like, I love what it says right here, though. Because it's like, this question, right, where our topic comes out of, it really isn't even a question. Like, it's not a bulletin, right? And then that's how, if you're in the step working guides. But, look, right? This question is in italics after the narrative, right? It says that when we think about where we've come from and what our recovery has brought to our lives, we can only be overwhelmed with gratitude. Yeah. It says, as it says, and it works, gratitude becomes the underlining force in all that we do. Yeah. It says our lives can be an expression of our gratitude. Yeah. It says it depends all on how we choose to live. Yeah. It says each one of us has something very special and unique to offer in gratitude. Right? You know, and it talks about, man, a simple, honest message of recovery rings true. Yes, right? Like, at the end of the day, man, all I do is I get to share me with y'all, man. And in the hopes, because I know that some of y'all got children, right? And like I was in the meeting yesterday, and the lady was talking about being 13, right? And I was sitting on the row with a little girl that was 13, right? And she was talking about the things, and I went to my father, right? Because I went to that place where I was like, damn, my father must have been fucking out of his mind to bring me into this atmosphere of recovery, you know, at all, you know, hearing what she was sharing about, right? Because like, you know, I believe in the fact that like all information ain't good information, right? And like not every message is, like not everybody's mature enough to hear a message, right? It's about timing, it talks about in the ninth step, right? Right, it's about the timing piece, right? So like at the end of the day, man, like I was looking at like, I've had so many meetings today, right? Like I had a meeting at like 9 o'clock this morning. Like I do something, right? You know, I got an 11th step in my life, right? And the first thing that I do is I seek conscious contact when my feet touch the floor, right? Like when I get to start my day, like I send a text message out to maybe 100 something different people every day. And this ain't no fucking chain message. This is an individual message every day. Because this is a personal process. It talks about this becomes a full contact process, right? So like I like to do this thing, man, like where I get quiet, right? And this is my meditation to begin the day, right? You know, and I kind of call it, it typically happens. I'm sending them out and somebody will say, what you doing? Or, you know, how you doing? Are you free? You know, and I'm always on my home group. I'm on by any means necessary around that time in the morning, right? And I'm like, all right, here it goes again. You know what I'm saying? But my man says something, right? And he brought something to my attention. And this is going to be out of, off of page 98, Larry. And, and guiding principles, right? No, in our sixth tradition, right? But we're talking about endorsement, right? We're talking about we don't never endorse. We don't never finance, right? We don't lend this NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. But right, here's this hit piece, right? It says, right, and this is the correlation. I love the sixth step as well, right? Because it's about to hit it. It says in step six, we're in tradition six, right? But it says in step six, the basic text reminds us, being human, we will wander off course, right? It says we don't always notice when we're wandering. This is the great challenge for many of us in practicing meditation. It says this is the great challenge for us in practicing meditation or even with sitting in a meeting, right? It says just staying in our seat without checking our phones or creating side conversation can be surprisingly difficult, right? Especially when we are having feelings we'd rather avoid. Ooh. I use over my feelings and emotions. I use over my feelings and my emotions.
Yes, sir.
Right? Past the present. Right? Today I will use over the fucking way that I feel. Right? You know, when somebody make me mad, right? If that seventh step kicks in and I feel slighted, right? If somebody, I get defensive when somebody puts out my shortcomings, right? I'm going to act out. Right, because I'm still that little boy sometimes that like wants to take my toys and run. Yeah. Right? No, I play by my motherfucking self. Right? Period. But y'all told me in this process though that I can't do this alone.
Yeah.
Right? Y'all told me that an addict alone is in bad company.
Yeah.
Right? Y'all said the motherfucking the ultimate weapon is another recovering addict.
Uh-huh.
Right? Y'all said the group, right?
Yeah.
The group is the most ultimate vehicle.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
And this is the ultimate authority of God that I'm serving, right?
Right?
Man, how I love to avoid what the fuck that I feel. You know? And I'm sharing this in a gratuitive manner because it takes a lot of humility for me to share this out loud with y'all. You know, especially with my girl in the room.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm that type of person, man, where I like to shut down. Right? Where I don't want to fucking talk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I want to just, y'all know how we walk by and look at each other. Are you on the same couch? And you be like, you know? I'm sharing that though because I'm grateful for those moments. Because those moments are the moments that I grow.
Come on.
Those moments are the moment that my 10th step says, man, what the fuck are you doing? Check yourself before you wreck yourself, man.
Yeah.
Right? You know, continuity of effort, man.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and I promise you, man, like, I have learned so much in this process that, you know, it's almost impossible for me to put it all out in words, man.
Yeah.
right? But because I'm a student of this process, man, I try to stay in the position of a fucking student. But I understand that we are both teachers and students, right? But I gotta stay in that pilot spot. I don't wanna be the mother. I don't wanna be driving the boat. You understand? Fuck Megan Thee Stallion and all that shit she be talking about. I don't wanna drive the boat, right? Like I just wanna be on it, right?
Come on.
Right? Because I'll be that motherfucker that's on that boat, right? At sea, that's lost in that motherfucking isolation, right? That'll be able to be around all of this love. All of this care, all of this concern, and all I can see is me, man.
Come on.
All I can see is the self-obsession, which is the core of my disease. Right? Like the raging self-obsession, which is at the core of my disease. Right? And but I wanted to go there because, man, like I learned how to meditate in meetings. Right? Like my first sponsor tricked me, man. He told me to close your eyes. Because I was one of those addicts that I couldn't stop looking at the coffee pot walkers.
Yeah.
Right? I couldn't stop looking at Judy with the booty, you know, going past me, right? Yeah. I couldn't stay still, right, in a meeting. Right? He told me to close your eyes and just listen. Yeah. Right? And what this enabled me to do was like I stopped looking at the messenger and I started listening to the message.
Yeah.
Right? I started to see this shit, right, in practical application. Right? You know, and I started to be able to do some things, man, that I didn't think I had the power to do.
Yeah.
That's why I love the first step, right? And how the first step changes it as I grow in this process.
Yeah.
You know, it says we were powerless over our addiction that our lives have become our manager.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right? You know, that shit says word, man. Like, I get some power back.
Yeah.
You know, once I stop using drugs, like once I stop fucking hanging around Mikey Bobo and all of them dumb motherfuckers that keep getting me locked up and shit, right? That I keep making the decision to get in the car with.
Yeah.
Right. You know, like when I stop doing those things, man, I get some power back, man. You know, and this power comes from, you know, the source, man. Like the source of my comfort, right? I liked how the lady talked about the circuit earlier, right?
Yeah.
And listen, I mean this in the most humble way. That I love doing this, right? I love sharing this, our experience, strength, and hope. You know, I love letting y'all know a little bit more about me and shit, right? You know, but I really don't care to do this shit, right? I really don't care. You know, I like to be, like, in our literature, it talks about finding your niche, right? You know, and my niche is behind the scenes, man. My niche is one-on-one connection with sponsees. Like, that's the type of service that I get the most out of. Right, I love that. Just, you know, the small intimate groups. I love that too. That this is a small room and, you know, it's a little packed now. But you know, fucking like I love the fact that, you know, when I can get around the people, man, because I've learned that, right? It's not about the quantity, man. It's about the quality, right? I've learned that motherfucking four quarters are better than 100 pennies, right? Right? And I'm talking about the fellowship, right? And I'm going to go there. In case anybody thought I wasn't, I'm going to go there. You know, I live in San Antonio, Texas, right? I'm a part of the Esperanza area of Narcotics Anonymous, right? You know, and I love about, you know, I love the area. I love the city, you know, and what I found is that, like, because I've been able to experience Narcotics Anonymous in so many different places, the things that I was looking at as wrong were just different, right? You know, I wasn't used to this shit. Right? Now, like, there's a lot of things that I see, right? Like, I thank God for what we talk about in the beginning of the basic text, right? Where it talks about the full fruit of the labor of love lives in the harvest.
Yeah.
And it always comes in its right season, right? You know, and I found that, like, you know, like, there's some people, right? You know, people that y'all told me real early, man, get off the people and get in the program, Tyrell.
Right.
Right? Because the fucking fellowship will let you down every time. Right? You know, and I think because, right, and this is, I know we don't care what this Narcotics Anonymous program talks about. We don't care about your age, race, sexual identity, creed, religion, lack thereof, religion. None of that. We don't care about that, right? But but let's get to the nitty gritty, man. It's like that shit does count.
Yeah.
You know, it does matter. You know, depending on what region, right, or what culture. And listen, I got this shit, right? I'm just like my man's over there, right? Like, I'm gonna have this shit to back up what the fuck I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
You know, in the fourth tradition, it talks about the autonomy, right?
Yeah.
You know, and this is one of my favorite pieces in probably all of our literature now, right? It says, although local NA customs may make the fellowship more or less attractive to us, we want to carefully consider decisions to change them, right? It says, when we make a decision to do something differently, we should do so for a reason.
Yeah.
It says, our efforts should be aimed at helping addicts pay more attention to the message. If we present it differently, rather than seeking attention for ourselves. Right now, I know I have this persona that maybe I'm a little egotistical, or I'm a little arrogant, or I'm a little cocky, or I'm a little conceited, and that might be motherfucking correct, right? Political, right? I'm self-centered, right? You know, and at the end of the day, man, like, I see things, right, that isn't to my motherfucking liking, right? And I'm not one of them people that's gonna hold my tongue, right? And I gotta share, man, I will ostracize myself, right, from situations based on one person. One monkey will ruin the bunch. Right? You know, and I will do that, and I find myself saying, man, I'm not going to that meeting, right? On that night. You know, these motherfuckers don't even read the fucking literature, right? It's a tradition meeting, but we're gonna read the tradition, but we're not gonna share on the tradition. Right? I found myself in these uncomfortable situations where it talks about in our traditions that, you know, we're gonna find ourselves standing alone. When we stand on principle, right? You know, and I like, I gotta share, man, and like, you know, I'm grateful. We're talking about gratitude, right? How will I express my gratitude, right? It's by telling y'all motherfuckers the truth, right? Like, I'd rather risk your feelings to save your life. That's what they told me, right? And that's what I've experienced, man. Like, I see people sometimes, man, and when I get around them, man, you know that aura. Right? You know, it talks about there's a spirit or energy that can be found in our meetings. Right? When I don't feel that spirit or energy in the meeting. Right? When I see the fucking fan of flame not being being dampened. Right? That desire piece that we love to talk about, you know, in the third tradition, in the fucking third edition, you know, book that took desire out for a reason. Nah, motherfucker, we need that desire. What it's talking about is non-judgment. What it's talking about is that, like, I can't judge your desire. I can't say that, you know, you want to be clean or you don't want to be clean, right? No, I got a brother in this room right now, man, that I fucking love, that broke my heart, just like I broke my sponsors, right, when he went out. And I was almost I was in disbelief, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, damn, this motherfucker working a program. Motherfucker, his clean date on a motherfucking day of love, on Valentine's Day, right? Like when I remember your clean date, you're special to me, right? When I see you and I say your name, or I say some whatever the fuck I might say, because I'm witty and comical sometimes, I love you, man. You know, that's what I got out of Narcotics Anonymous, though, right? You know, I've gotten so much. I ain't even getting the word. We about to go somewhere, right? But listen.
Love you.
I don't know if I'll ever be able to express the gratitude that I get.
Right.
You know, on a daily basis, because even though I'm talking about that area a little, you know, it's not maliciously, right? But it's truthfully, you know, my truth. Me and Larry was talking about this earlier, my truth, right? My perception. You know, and the literature says my perception is not reality, right? Sometimes my shit is skewed, right? Sometimes I'm not seeing it, right? And I need somebody to say, Tyrell, well, like, here's a 6, right? And then here's a 9, right? You know that little analogy? My girl like to point this shit out of me all the time. You know, you got a number 6 and you got a number 9. You know, if you flip it over, you know, you can see it from a different perspective. It's the same thing. Like she hits me with that shit, right? Look, right? But it helps me, right? Right? Because look, man, it helps me because I don't always see it. And I do have self-righteousness in my motherfucking character defects. But I do think I'm always motherfucking right. Or or I could be right. You know what I'm saying? I might be wrong, but I could have been right. You know what I mean? But check this, right? But look, right? I want to go somewhere, right? I want to go to chapter 9, living the program right quick, right? Because I love this piece, and it's talking about the gratitude, right? And I gotta find it, cause I'm riled up. Ooh, it said ego used to control us in all sort of subtle ways.
Ooh,
Right, there, that, there it is. There it is. Yeah, yeah. It says in living the steps, we begin to let go of our self-obsession. It says we ask a higher power to remove our fear of facing ourselves and life. It says we redefine ourselves by working the steps and using the tools of recovery. It says we see ourselves differently. Our personalities change. We become feeling people. It says capable of responding to life appropriately. Right? It says we put spiritual living first and learn to use patience, tolerance, and humility in our daily affairs. Right? Those aren't principles that I'm really good at practicing, y'all. You know, and I do my best. Right? They're like, when I feel impatient, right? Because I got in a fucking relationship, man. I got to have some patience. And she always says it like, I'm one of the most, she says I remind her of her father because of his patience, right? But I don't see that in myself, right? I don't see that I'm a patient person, right? I see that I'm impatient. I see that like, if shit ain't happening like this, then like I'm done with the shit, right? You know, and like what y'all have taught me, man, is to like have some motherfucking compassion and some concern, right? This is shit that I get from the 12th step, y'all. This is about being selfless, man, the selfless service aspect of what this shit is about, right? And when I get to this place in my program, man, you know, when I really realize, right, after having that spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, right, they're like, it ain't even about me no more, yeah, right? And the seventh step, man, says we got to get out of the way so God can do what God does, right? And what I understand is that God does use me as a conduit, right? God used me as a steward, as a vessel, in carrying a clear and concise message in Narcotics Anonymous. Because I'm never going to talk about y'all when I got the opportunity to talk about me. Listen. I don't know why I'm all that I think about, but I'm all that I think about. Right? I promise you. Right? You know, but in this process, man, of the 12-step process, yes, what it has taught me to do is think of myself less, right? Where I've been lately, right, you know, is that change is gradual, is what it says in our literature, right? And I've been seeing changes in these areas that, you know, that I'm not really, really fond of, right? I'm gonna talk about some real shit right quick, you know, it's like, I've never been in a committed relationship, right? Like I'm talking about my whole life, where I've been faithful, right? Like that's one of my character defects is I fucking cheat, right? Dishonesty, right? The secrecy, being secretive, right? And like, I'm in this place because now, like, I didn't fuck around. I told you, I just took her to home to meet my mama, right? She done already met daddy. She done met all my brothers and sisters, right? Like, I'm at this place where my relationship is going in a direction that I fucking prayed for. Yeah. Right? Like, I slung dick all throughout Narcotics Anonymous my first 8 years clean, right? Nobody was safe. Nobody. Old-timer, newcomer. We got to listen. Nobody. Right? You know, and I'm just being honest, right? And if you've heard me share in the past, you know this to be true. I'm going to tell y'all exactly who I am, right? You know, and that's the most important thing when we listening, man, or when I'm listening, what I listen for is I want to know who you are. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care how much literature you can quote or where, you know, who your fucking sponsor is or what fucking sponsorship family you're a part of. That shit don't matter. Like, I want to know who you are. Today, not 35 fucking years ago, right? Like, how is this process working for you today, right? Like, what? You know, it's a movie called, I say I'm a cinema buff, right? But it's a movie called, What's Eating Gilbert's, What's Eating Gilbert Grape, right? And I often think about that analogy, right, as it pertains to my life today. Because in this gradual change is what I'm seeing is that these things that I was running from, but like I was really running towards, right? Like I was running from these relationships with these women. I've always got great women in my life. I've had bona fide women, great jobs, you know, fucking come from good families. It was my fucking derelicted, retarded ass that fucks them up, right? You know, but at the end of the day, right,
I've been listening, man. My girl, and I'ma share this. My girl is a newcomer, right? She got 17 months clean. I met my girl when she had 13 days clean.
There you go.
Right?
Five.
Okay, 5 days clean. Right? Listen, when you know, you know.
You know, you know.
You know, I've gotten a lot of pain in this area of relationship. You know, and when I went through this last, this 12 and 12 and 12 that I'm in right now, right? This last fourth step, man, it really, really, really did something to me, man. Like, I got really in touch with, like, my mother issues, right? I got in touch with the fact that, like, you know, I because of my relationship and the way that I view my mother, it's how I treated women my whole life, yeah. Right? Because my mother was a crackhead, right? Because my mother was, she had all Tom, Dick, and Harry, you know, throughout. Like, she was telling me these was my uncles, but she was sleeping in the bed with them,
yeah.
Right? Like, these things that I picked up, you know, because of the, not the hate for my mother, but just the embarrassment, man.
Yeah.
You know,
shame.
The shame, right?
Yeah.
You know, when I, the disgust, right?
Yeah.
You know, when I look at my relationship with my mother today, you know, and I had this thing in me, right? When I went home to go visit, like this visit, I wanted her to know, right? Ego, easing God out, right? My ego is not my amigo. I wanted to go to mom's and say all of these things, right? You know, and like let her know, you know, these things that happened to me, right? You know, being molested under her watch.
Right.
You know, like all of these, like I'm a product of grandma's kids, man.
Yeah.
Like my grandma raised all of us, right?
Right?
You know, and even though my mom was there, she did, like, I love that, like you said, you know, they did the best they could and all that. But for me, that's a cop out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you know better, you do better, right?
Yeah.
You know, and my mom had parents that were wonderful, right? Like I ain't never seen my grandma smoke nothing, drink nothing, curse nobody out. My grandma done put her house up for me, right? My grandma put her house up for my aunt. You understand? Like this is the family, the fucking dysfunctionality that I come from, right? You know, but I had this thing in my mind, and I was even sharing about this shit. I was in the meeting sharing about it. You know, I'm gonna go tell my mom this shit, right? And like. When I got to that, when opportunity meets desire, right, I couldn't do it. What does that say about my fucking step work, right?
It works.
What does that say about my motherfucking growth? Is that I don't even need to add a conversation no more, right? Fifth step says that this step is the key to freedom. That's why we admit to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Right? Like, I got free, man, in this four and five. Like, I look past, you know, the things that my mom did, you know, and where she's at currently, you know, and I got to do something, right? And this ain't the brag or boast and shit, but like, you know, me and my girl got to take my whole family bowling, right? It's the little things. Never in my life have we got together as a family just to go out on an outing. Like, I get jealous, right? I get vindictive when I see people with their families, man. Like when I see my mans with his son, man, that shit brings me so much joy. Joy, man. Because the gratitude, this is how I express it, man. I got a 6-year-old son, Tyrell Jr., right? And he's in Atlanta. He's good. He's great. He's living the motherfucking, he's like a little Huxtable, goddammit. Like this kid is, he got... This kid got everything he want, man.
Yeah.
You know, but I miss that. You understand? Like, I miss being that father to pick my son up from school. Right? Because this is what Narcotics Anonymous has given me. The ability to pull up on his class and sit in the back and participate in his life.
Yeah.
Like, these are the things, man. This is why I stay clean, y'all. Yeah. You know, I don't stay clean for myself no more, man.
Right.
It's not even about me. If y'all have heard me say that 3-4 times, I really fucking mean that. Right? I stay clean on purpose, right? You know, because this program has given me purpose. You know, but when I tell you, man, like this family dynamic,
You know, I'm so grateful to be able to, like, you know, give them what y'all have given me. You know, I'm in a place, and let me know when it's time to wrap it up, boss.
You just did.
Right?
I got them rollover minutes. You feel me? She left some time on the clock. I'm gonna just take a look. But check it, right?
What page?
51. Step 12. Right? It says right here, right in the close. It says the first way that we carry that the message speaks for itself. It says people see us on the street and remember us as devious, frightened, loners. They notice the fear leaving our faces. They see us gradually come alive. Right? It says, once we find the NA way, boredom and complacency have no place in our new life. By staying clean, we begin to practice spiritual principles such as hope, surrender, acceptance, honesty, open-mindedness, willingness, faith, tolerance, patience, humility, unconditional love, sharing and caring. As our recovery progresses, spiritual principles touch every area of our lives. It says because we simply try to live this program in the here and now. Right? In closing, this is the greatest show on earth. You know, this shit is better than the Ringling Brothers. It's better than Cirque du Soleil. It's better than Love & Hip Hop Atlanta. You know, this shit is better than the Harlem Globetrotters. Like, this is truly the last house on the block. This is the best thing smoking, right? You know, this shit is this program truly has the power to save lives, right? Change lives. You know, and in closing, man, this program works if you work it. It works if you don't work it. It just won't be working for you. That's all I got.